Let us pray.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text comes from the first reading from Revelation chapter 7, which includes these words. And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. And after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, we're going to start with a little hymnal lesson, so grab those hymnals and turn to hymn number 656. 656. This was last week's hymn of the day, Mighty Fortress. But what I want you to notice is the name of the section that this hymn is in at the upper left-hand part of the page, the Church Militant. Turn a few pages to 660. Notice the first line, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. 661, the Son of God goes forth to war. 662, onward Christian soldiers. I think you get the idea. This is the Church Militant. And turn to the hymn we just sang, 677. And notice the title of this section, the Church Triumphant. Church Militant and the Church Triumphant. Every Christian finds themselves in one of these two realms, the Church Militant here, now, in time, in this life, or the Church Triumphant in eternal life, the life to come, in the heavenly realm. And John's words from Revelation give us a picture of both of these two realms. First, the Church Militant, and then the Church Triumphant. The Church Militant is described at the beginning of our reading. John sees 144,000, an actual specific number, and why does he number them? Because in this life, we can actually see who the Christians are, more or less. If we had time, we could actually number them. Pollsters actually try to do this, saying how many Christians they estimate to be in the entire world. But this number, 144,000, is symbolic. 12 times 12 represents the 12 tribes of the Old Testament church and the 12 apostles upon whose word the New Testament church is built. The number 1,000 in Revelation is just a large number, but it is also, interestingly, the number of soldiers in a Roman legion. The number of those in God's church militant is exactly the number of soldiers that he intends for there to be. These 144,000 are named according to tribe, and they are in marching order. Much like in the book of Exodus, when the people of Israel are wandering in the wilderness, they have to pack up the tabernacle and move to the next place. They are also in marching order with 12 tribes to the north, 12 tribes to 3 tribes to the north, 3 tribes to the south, 3 tribes to the east, and 3 tribes to the west. When the people of God are on the move, they are under strict orders by God to follow his ways. They move together with purpose, and God promises to be with them. So it is for us. We are numbered among the 144,000. We are soldiers of the cross, Christian soldiers. We have our marching orders from God himself, our King. But what does it mean to be in the Lord's military? We know that the Lord is our captain in this well-fought fight. The Lord is our rock and our fortress and might, as we just sang in the hymn. This is not a worldly sort of armed force. We do not fight this war with conventional weapons. We know ours is a different kind of service. And we know that it is the Lord who always fights by our side. It is always the Lord who delivers us from the hand of every spiritual enemy. It is Jesus who has already won the war over sin on the cross, and the war over death in his empty tomb. It is the Lord who prepares us to battle against sin, against the lies of Satan, against the delights of this world, against the temptation to just fit in or get along. You are in this battle when tempted to despair over the evil you see around you, or the circumstances of your own life. You are in battle when tempted to listen to the voices of this age over and against the Word of God. You are in battle when tempted to compromise your beliefs just to fit in. And in this battle, you live not by sight, but by faith in Jesus, who has already won the war for you. It is the Lord who fits on us. The full armor of God is described in Ephesians 6. And it is the Lord who musters us together, gathered together this day around his word and sacraments to continue to equip us for our daily battles. Battles against the forces of darkness in this world that think they have control. They do not. When our Lord returns in glory, we want to be found as faithful soldiers in his church, not AWOL, having given up the fight of faith. St. Paul tells Timothy, fight the good fight of the faith and endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. A soldier boldly carries out whatever order is given to him, so we as Christian soldiers are to be about those things that God commands, not becoming entangled in the pursuits of this world. As soldiers, we are always to be ready. Ready for our Lord's return, and ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that they see in you. For the hope that they see in you. And it is this hope that keeps us going, that keeps us fighting. It is the hope, the certain trust that God will bring us to be where he is with all the saints in the church triumphant. Here's how the hymn puts it. And when the fight is fierce, the warfare long, steals on the ear the distant triumph song, and hearts are brave again, and arms are strong. Our hearts are brave, and our arms are strong, because we know that whatever calamity befalls us as we march through life in the church militant, it is temporary. For lo, there breaks a yet more glorious day. The day when the world is judged will be for many fearful and terrifying, but not for you. For you, Christ's soldier, that will be a day of joy and a revelation of the ultimate victory of Jesus Christ, our Lord. At your death, the battles are over. When St. Paul senses that he is nearing the end of his life, as he writes to Timothy in the second letter, he writes this, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. The saints that have gone before us, who have fought the good fight of faith, who have finished their earthly race, who have by God's mercy and grace been faithful unto death, have received the crown of everlasting life. This is a day of remembrance, a day in which we reflect on those in our lives whom God has welcomed home with the words, Well done, good and faithful servant. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. They are where we hope to be. Those are the words we long to hear spoken to us, though we know not when. St. John pictures for us the church triumphant. In the second half of our reading, he writes, After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." These are those who in life had Christ as their rock, who sought refuge in the mighty fortress of our Lord. These are those who in life fought the good fight with Christ as their captain. These are those who, as they walked through the darkness of this life, looked to Christ and his word as their light. And how is it that they are now in this church triumphant? Who exactly are these that John sees? John isn't sure, but he is told, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are the ones who have served in the church militant and have come out unscathed and unwounded because their robes were made white in the blood of Jesus. These are not olive drab or desert camouflage uniforms of an earthly soldier, but the robes, the white robes of Christ's own righteousness. These are those upon whom the Lord has placed Christ's righteousness in baptism, and those who have been sealed on their foreheads. These are those whom God has called out to be his people. These are those who marched with the 144,000 in this life and now have received the crown of glory in everlasting life. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you are saints now. Though sin clings to you, you fight against it. You fight with God's word coming into your ears, in your hearts, and on your lips. The Holy Spirit fights for you and with you, so that one day you, like the saints before us, will worship the one who sits on the throne, the Lamb, and you shall hunger no more, you shall thirst no more, the sun shall not strike you, nor any scorching heat. The Lamb in the midst of the throne will be your shepherd, and he will guide you to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. We pray. Lord, O may thy soldiers, faithful, true, and bold, fight as the saints who nobly fought of old, and win with them the victor's crown of gold. Alleluia. In the name of Jesus, amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.